Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's matter time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 127. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by just Steve Brady today. No Alex Clausen. Steve, how we doing?
Doing well. It's been a while. No Alex Clausen because he is in Europe, I believe Germany, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Cardi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Germany for a couple weeks doing something, taking classes maybe. I don't know. Hopefully he'll be back soon on the show to tell you all about it. But for now, just me and Gardy. And we got a good amount to talk about because it's been a while.
We have, yeah, well, we're back. It's been 3.5 weeks, maybe almost like basically 4 weeks since our last episode, which I think is the longest we've ever gone in the show's history, with like in between shows. But there's been a lot going on for us this month. Yeah, Clausen and I graduated college. Clausen is in Germany for like 2 months, I think, studying abroad. And then, yeah, there's just been a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of tough to find times to record, but Steve and I ripping a little episode here. Sunday afternoon, Sox are tied with the Rays 1-1 right now. And yeah, we've got a lot to run over. We're going to keep it kind of broad. Obviously, we're not going to run through the last 20 games that the Red Sox have played, but there are a lot of things we got to talk about. A lot of different storylines. It's been an interesting go of things, I would say, since the last time we recorded. But yeah, I mean, first things first, just happy to be back. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, a different state of the team since the last episode. I think we're in a slightly worse position than we were at the time. Then the Red Sox are currently 30-28, 10 games back of first place. Tampa Bay Rays 41-19 they are. And we're last in the division, right? We're last in the division, but that isn't a huge deal. As you know, it's because we're in the AL East, right? Every team is good in the AL East, but we're last. And we're only 4 games out of the third, which is weird to say, wild card spot. And it's pretty much just all AL East because you got Baltimore, Yankees, Toronto, us, and Houston as the top 5 teams for those 3 wild card spots.
Yeah, I mean, I know coming into the season, I said, I think 12 out of the 15 teams in the American League could make a run for the playoffs. Only 3 teams that I said weren't going to have a shot at it were, the Tigers, who actually have not been as bad as I originally thought. They're 26-30, but
yep. Still, unfortunately, Eddie just headed to the IL.
Yeah,
he
mean,
just went to the IL.
If we want to quickly talk about this, it's been a month for former Red Sox pitchers, Evaldi and Waka winning AL and NL pitchers of the month, respectively. And yeah, I've seen a lot of talk about like, Heim should have resigned these guys. The thing is that Michael Waka, I think he offered him a 1 or 2 year deal. Waka got a 4-year deal from San Diego, which the Red Sox were never going to give him. And the Red Sox gave Evaldi, I think, a pretty strong contract offer, which again, he didn't take. He wanted to go back and pitch in Texas, whatever. Anyways, yeah, in terms of the standings, yeah, the other two teams that I was like, they're not going to make the playoffs at all this year were the Royals and the A's, and they are both just dumpster fires this year. The Royals are 17-41, A's are 12-48, on pace for one of the worst baseball seasons of all time. I mean,
yeah,
since our last episode, yeah,
all time bad.
Since we last talked, I mean, now it's like, no, it looks like they're going to Vegas. They got the concept art. There's been a lot of stuff going on with them, but we can save the A's talk for.
Was there concept art? I didn't see that, I don't think.
Yeah, looking good. It's actually, I think it'd be the smallest stadium in the MLB. It was like a 30,000 seat stadium in Vegas.
Smaller than Fenway?
I think Fenway's 37.
It's interesting. Hopefully they kind of build it to be a little more functional at 35,000 than Fenway is.
But anyways, in terms of the Red Sox, again, the AL East, the AL East is a fight for playoff positioning right now. I mean, the Rays are really good, 41-19. I think I saw some stat that they were maybe the second team in MLB history to win 40 games before the month of June started. So, you know, they're on a tear right now. The Red Sox were at least able to get a game from them yesterday in the doubleheader. Nice little comeback win in the first game of the series. But yeah, I mean, the American League is tough as a whole. There's a lot of good teams. I mean, the Rangers are tearing it up. Red Sox have yet to play the Yankees. We'll get to see that next weekend, which will be exciting. But kind of moving into the last 20 or so days, obviously everybody listening knows the results of these games. But Steve, we got to give our opinions on a couple storylines. So we will start with some big news that happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago now. But we knew it was coming. Ryan Brazier is no longer a Boston Red Sox.
Is it Boston Red Sox or Boston? It's still Boston Red Sox.
He's a Boston Red Sox.
I think that is still.
He's neither. He's yeah, unemployed.
He was. Yeah, he's gone. And you said that everybody saw it coming. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I ever really believed in my heart of hearts that Ryan Brazier would get removed from this ball club. But he did. And have we been worse since that move?
He got DFA'd on the 14th, I believe. Red Sox have been, yeah, a little bit under 500 since then. I mean, they struggled. How would they go on this West Coast road trip? They went 4-5 on the West Coast road trip. They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle, lost. I mean, been about 500 since then. But still, that's the thing is, like, 500 is just not going to get it done.
Yeah, and not even close, especially in the AL East. And we are benefited more so than any team in the MLB having to not play your division as much as you used to. Currently playing the Rays, like you mentioned, got one yesterday. Shout out to Justin Turner for hitting that RBI double. Really helped us out. He's been great. I was watching the game today, and apparently he has started 53 games, I think, for us, which is the most in the entire ball club. And that kind of surprises me a little bit, even though he's had a really solid season.
Yeah, I mean, Turner has been, I guess, better than what most people thought. I was excited to welcome him onto the team. And we talked about earlier on in the season, especially, that the move to sign Turner maybe was a little bit of an upgrade over JD, which JD has been absolutely tearing it up in LA right now. In fact, I was watching the Dodgers-Yankees game 2 nights ago, and he hit another bomb off, I forget who was pitching, but JD looks like old JD. You know, it's like every fly ball to center just seemingly gets out of the park. But I mean, I think you got to at least be happy with what Justin Turner is doing right now. The fact that he can also fill in and play first base a little bit with Casas, who
playing third today.
Yeah, exactly. He can kind of float around, which is great. And we were the three of us were texting recently, because the Red Sox have some big decisions to make coming up. I mean, Adam Duvall, who had one of the hottest first weeks of a season we've ever seen, broke his wrist. He'll be back, I believe, on the 7th or the 8th. So in a couple days, when the Red Sox go out to Cleveland. And then we've also got four middle infielders who within the next month, I think three of the four will be back. I still have not heard a word on Mondesi, but Christian Arroyo, Yu Chang.
Mondesi looks like he's going to come back after Trevor Story.
Okay. Yeah, I honestly just haven't heard much about him. Like, yeah. I don't know. He's pulling a Josh Taylor. Like, literally, they got traded for each other. Josh Taylor disappeared. Mondesi's kind of disappeared.
This is what everybody expected, though. It was pretty much like, oh, Mondesi's either going to steal 30 bases for us or he's going to play less than 20 games.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting the second part. But, yeah, I mean, Trevor Story's going to be a big upgrade, but then you've got some decisions to make roster wise, because those are four guys. I mean, honestly, I feel like, you know, Yu Chang could possibly be the odd man out, but there's a lot of roster moves coming up that are going to be interesting. We've already seen the last couple weeks or so lots of tough decisions with the pitching staff, because the Red Sox are built on depth right now, and in the beginning of the season there were lots of injuries, and so, you know, you guys had guys kind of floating up, floating down, out of the rotation. When everyone's healthy, it's a bloodbath to fight for playing time on this team.
Yeah, we just have a lot of people at very similar skill levels And that's not necessarily to say that they're all above average players or anything like that, but especially with the outfield, you really got Yoshida and Verdugo as certainly your everyday left and right fielders. And then center field, Jaron Duran has cooled way off. Tapia has given you pretty much the same thing the entire season, which is mid at best. And then Duvall, there's no real guarantee. I don't know what the expectations are for fans, but there's definitely no guarantee that he's going to be even remotely close to what he was for the first week and a half of the season when he was tearing it up. Hope he is, because that would be the best outfield in the MLB potentially. But, you know, and then, like you said, middle infield, Trevor Story, seems like the idea is to put him at shortstop, but just because he got surgery to repair his throwing arm doesn't mean that he's going to just be able to throw again, like, really well. So if he doesn't have a good arm, which I personally don't think that he will, that doesn't really seem like a realistic possibility to throw him at short. And then if Meyer really is the this legit guy that's coming up in a year or two, probably two, and just keep Trevor Story at second. He's a second baseman at this point.
Here's my thing with the whole Trevor Story thing.
Worst contract of all time.
I wouldn't go that far. But
we won a World Series with Pablo's contract on the books. Don't sleep on
that. That's true. I will say this about Trevor Story is I'm not going to judge him defensively until I see what he can do at shortstop. Because, yeah, this, you know, his arm, his elbow, whatever exactly was the problem, was obviously bothering him for parts of last year. But the thing is, defensively at shortstop, the Red Sox cannot get any worse than what they've got right now with Kike Hernandez, who, again, day after day, just looks so uncomfortable out there. And it's almost like, you know, you ever play when you played like Little League and there's just like that one guy on your team who's not very good. And you're like, just please, like, I want to win this game. Please do not hit the ball to him. Whatever happens. Cause I know he's not going to make the play.
And well, then it's like, you know, in the Sandlot, the scene when Smalls first plays in left field.
Yeah.
Don't hit me the ball. Don't hit me the ball. Don't hit me the ball. And then, and Benny's like, coming at you. He's like, that's Kike probably before every pitch. Don't hit me the ball. Don't
Kike's leading the MLB in errors right now. And again, I think he looked pretty good. I would say a little above average in the outfield at parts last year.
Borderline, dare I say, gold glove play in center field. Yeah, borderline.
A little bit of a hot take, but I don't hate it. I mean, the thing is that I would much rather have him in the outfield than shortstop. But the problem is the outfield's logjammed.
Too many outfielders.
You got no place for him. You got no place for him. No place. So I honestly think that the thing is that his production at the plate has been lackluster too. Kike's a great clubhouse guy. And I kind of said this from the jump in 2021 when they signed him. It's like, we have to be realistic with what we're getting here from Kike Hernandez. Like, he was a utility guy with the Dodgers. You know, they had a loaded team. He would step in, played 120 games or so. But the Red Sox pulled him in to be, you know, a key piece of the team. He was great in 2021, hurt a lot of last year, and they bring him back. And this year he's just looked atrocious on a one-year deal. So,
yeah, it's again, like, you know, if you put him back in center, will his offense production go back up because he's more engaged? He likes center field better. I don't know. Is that something you can even do with how logjammed all these positions are? I don't know. You definitely, I don't think you can trade Kike just because, like you said, he's a huge clubhouse guy. I think that would upset like Justin Turner. I think,
I mean, what do you even get
clubhouse,
from Kike? Right,
just like anything, like a bolt, like a lefty bullpen arm that like doesn't suck ass, like every like all of our lefties.
That has definitely been another problem too. I mean, I will say this with the outfield. So right now, it's obviously Yoshida in left. You got Verdugo in right. And then center field, I guess you roll with Duran and Duvall when they come back.
Yeah.
I mean, Tapia has been okay. You've also got Rob Refsnyder, who
extension.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, signs a one-year extension. The lefty killer. He's been, you know, again, solid this year. He's a solid bench piece. But you're going to start to see guys I'm going to name some names here. I think a guy like Raimel Tapia, a guy like Yu Chang, I think could be the odd man's out. The odd man, odd men out? Is that?
Yeah, I guess.
We'll go with that. Out. The odd men out on this roster. Because again, there's just too many bodies. And you got a guy like Pablo Reyes, who was DFA'd by the A's. Seemingly not that he was too good to play there, I guess. They DFA him. He comes over. He's been serviceable. He's been fine. Looks a lot better at short than Kike. So
I would say that at a point, too, Yu Chang looked like an infinitely better option at shortstop than Kike Hernandez.
100%. Again,
I just don't think you can get rid of Kike just because of who he is. But I also don't want to play him anywhere.
That's the thing, is that I do think when Duvall comes back and Story comes back, I don't unless someone else gets hurt, where do you play Kike? And I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have because you don't really want him in the lineup right now.
Yeah, it's like Valdez is second base for the most part at this point.
I mean, he's cooled off a little bit too, but like, you know, Valdez is at least like a younger prospect. He's got a little more pop in his bat. Kike is just he's a defensive liability straight up.
If you're the Red Sox, maybe you sit Kike down. You're like, hey, Kike.
Send him down. Well, here's my question, Steve.
No, you sit him down.
Oh,
you sit him down and you talk to him. You don't send him down. You're like, all right, Kike, here's the deal. You like these guys, right? Justin Turner, your buddy, he's here. You like Boston. We don't want to play you anymore. And we also don't want to get rid of you necessarily, but we want the roster spot. How do you feel about going on the 60-day IL?
60 days?
Yeah. How do you feel about going on the 60-day IL?
You're not going to give him like a phantom little hamstring pull? I feel like 60-day, you
phantom
can't fake.
Tearing his ACL.
60 days, you can't fake that. You're going to give him a fake torn ACL?
I don't know. Mental health. Yeah. Who is that guy? Flowers, I think, on the Mariners. He was on the IL for like the beginning of the year. Just because he was stressed out, anxiety reasons, they put him on the IL.
All right. Well, I could see a phantom IL stint here for Kike. 60, I think, is a little aggressive, but
yeah,
I think
at some
point we could. Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, lots of decisions with that. I mean, also hardly touched on like Christian Arroyo. We'll see what
who cares?
What we'll see what happens there. Catching wise, Connor Wong has looked fantastic. I think we were talking about before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, Yoshida will most definitely be an all-star. Verdugo should be an all-star. I think you can make a case that Connor Wong possibly could be the third catcher on the all-star team. Possibly.
I don't know enough about the AL catchers to say for sure. He's been pretty good. He's been defensively, he is probably a top three, at least top five defensive catcher in the league. Offensively, he's had his moments. He's only hitting like 240 with less than 10 home runs and probably only a handful of RBIs. And those aren't great offensive numbers, but I guess it's like what catcher does have good offensive numbers in the AL? You know, it's like,
I mean,
Adley Rutschman, I guess, say, is Adley obviously Rutschman. He's definitely starting catcher. But outside of that, all the good catchers I feel like are in the NL.
I mean, yeah, there are a ton of good catchers in the like NL. Like Francisco Alvarez with the Mets is having a good year.
Elias Diaz is hitting like 316 for Colorado. Will Smith, I don't know how good he's been doing this year, but obviously
Will Smith is having a great year. 315, yeah. 8 home runs, 946 OPS. Sean Murphy's having a great year.
Yeah, it's a bloodbath in the NL for that.
I haven't even mentioned Real Muto, who's having a solid season.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, in the AL, like, yeah.
Does Varsho play enough for Toronto at the catcher position to qualify?
I didn't even know that Varsho, like, was a catcher.
The only reason I say that is because they gave him the secondary catcher position in fantasy, and so I can start him as my catcher sometimes. And I think that in order for that to be the case, you have to start at least 10 games at the position, but I drafted him as an outfield catcher, so maybe last year he played a couple games at catching. I don't know if he has this year.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the two guys I would definitely put in front of Connor Wong are Rutschman and also Salvador Perez, who's having kind of a bounce back year. He's got he's hitting 280, 12 home runs, 827 OPS. But I mean, the funny thing is right now I'm looking at like the All-Star game voting because it's an easy way to just kind of lay out all the starting catchers, all their stats. The guy right above Connor Wong on the list is Christian Vasquez for the Twins, who's hitting 248, which is pretty similar with Connor Wong, who's hitting 240. Vasquez, zero home runs compared to six for Wong. RBI, you know, I'm not huge on RBI, but Wong has more. And Connor Wong's OPS is about 160 points higher than Christian Vasquez. So I think that's another trade. And the guy who's been playing second base for most of the season, thanks to the Christian Vasquez trade. So, again, I think we've talked about this a few times, but it's a good trade. It's a good trade.
Yeah, the trades Heim has made look better. As long as you don't mention Jackie Bradley Jr. or Hunter Renfro, they seem pretty decent.
Pretty decent. Pretty decent. But, yeah, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, question for you, because I've seen a lot of this talk on Twitter. What are your thoughts about Tristan Casas right now? What's kind of the game plan for him?
You look at his stats, and you're like, you look at his X stats, and you're like, his expected batting average, his expected OPS, whatever you can put expected in front of, is actually pretty solid. I feel like Casas is kind of putting it together a little bit, but I feel like that's been the case for the past like 3 or 4 weeks, where it's like, ooh, I feel like Casas is putting it together right now, and we're going to see him get really hot like soon. And that hasn't necessarily happened yet. But overall, I mean, you got Bob raking in Worcester right now. So that's something you keep on your mind. I think we have a ton of lefties in the everyday lineup right now, too. And maybe you don't necessarily, I don't want to give up on Casas yet. That's not what I'm saying. But it doesn't hurt to have Bob up here if you can make room for him. Just put another ready bat in the lineup, put him at first base, give Casas not necessarily like more pressure, but like kind of show him that like he doesn't need to be the guy right now. And maybe Bob can help him out. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel in the situation.
Again, it's like I would love to see Bob up here. I mean, he's certainly, I think Bob again is a, would you go as far to call him a quad A player?
Borderline. He's a really good triple A guy.
Yeah, like he's done more than enough right now down in Worcester. I know he homered again today or yesterday.
Is like 1600. I don't know.
He's homered a lot. I know Adam Duvall just hit another home run this afternoon in his another rehab start. But again, I think it just comes down to bodies. Like there's a lot of guys coming back for the Red Sox right now. Where do you find a spot for him? Trade at the deadline? If Bobby's still raking in AAA, I can guarantee you there are some teams that would, I wouldn't even say a flyer. Like it's not like he's super washed up. Moved. Would you trade Bobby Dalbec for a relief pitcher if you could get someone at the major league level?
Yeah, I think like you have to. We just have so many guys. We have what I would call right now an abundance of mid. And it's just, we need to clear out
a quote card.
Yeah, it's just, you got to clear some of it out. And if Bob's the guy that makes the least sense because you're really banking on Casas being the guy for the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years, God willing. I don't hate the idea of trading Bob. And I think that's good for Bob too, because I like Bobby Dalbec. And if he gets a good opportunity on a decent team somewhere else to play more first base at the major league level, then more power to him.
I could for sure see Bob going to, I don't even know, some Pittsburgh. Smaller market team.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, and just tearing it up.
I don't know who Pittsburgh's first baseman is right now, but.
They have Carlos Santana.
I'll play third.
Bob can play third. They have they have Key Brian Hayes there, but no, they'll find a spot for him. I don't know.
DH Bob
and Pitt. I don't know. I could see Bobby really going somewhere and tearing it up. Kind of like I know Steve like kind of a sore subject on the Celtics right now, but I feel like a guy kind of similar to Bob, Peyton Pritchard, who is going to like get traded somewhere, probably ball out. The Celtics just don't have a spot for him. It's kind of like Bob.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Pritchard wants to be traded. People are talking about trading Malcolm Brogdon, not to get too much into the Celtics. And that happens, obviously, there's a little bit less of a jam in the backcourt. So who knows? Who knows how it'll shake up? But yeah, you make a good point. Peyton Pritchard wants bigger opportunities somewhere else. He's been vocal about it. Shout out to Bob for just kind of keeping his head down, grinding away in AAA. He's obviously, I don't think any of the Red Sox players or MLB players in general are big social media guys like the NBA, where, you know, you can complain like a ton publicly, but it feels like Bob's just kept his head down and he's biding his time, waiting for his opportunity. And I hope he gets it somewhere if it's not here.
You know what's funny, Steve, is this season we've kind of had a mantra with Bob, leave Bob alone. And we haven't done a show now in, again, a couple weeks. We've left Bob alone and he's tearing it up.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's left Bob alone. They kind
of
there's
not a lot of Bob talk right now.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I kind of take that back. On Twitter, there's been a fair amount of Bob talk being reeled in because I swear every Red Sox Twitter half the time is the most negative place in the world. Like, I steer clear of Twitter more than I used to because I just see so many negative takes, so many bad takes. I'm like, I don't want to see this. Like, I am a very positive guy when it comes to the Red Sox. I get Tristan Casas is struggling out of the gate. He had a pretty solid month of May. He walks a lot. He works the count deep. He's third on the team in home runs. But Bob gets roped into a lot of conversation on there, I will say. But that's kind of a little side piece.
Yeah, Tristan Casas, I feel like he's gotten so unlucky with his at-bats. He does work great count. He's so good at drawing walks. His plate discipline is solid. It's really all there. He just needs to put the ball in play a little bit more.
A quick kind of side thought here. I wanted to mention this before we can slide over to the pitching a little bit and then take a quick look ahead at the schedule before we move into the back half of the episode. I guess it was about a week and a half ago now. This season alone, I've been getting into the Red Sox farm system. Like, I'm into it. Like, I like following the prospects. I like kind of seeing what's coming up. So a couple days after he graduated, was looking for something to do. And I was like, you know what? Portland's not that far away. So I drove up to watch the Sea Dogs play. And the Sea Dogs might have one of the best lineups in all of minor league baseball. And I will say this, there are some very, very exciting faces in the Red Sox organization that within the next 3 years are going to be huge impact players for this team.
Like who?
Well, you got Nick York. First of all, Nick York, I feel like he's been sliding down the prospect rankings a little bit. He impressed me the most, a lot more than Sedan Rafaela, I will say. Nick York looks very, very comfortable at second base. He can hit for power. He hit a bomb when I was there. So did Sedan, which was sick. But another guy, actually, I want to shout out two Gone Bridge alumni here. First off, Nathan Hickey, who has been playing for Portland for about a month now. He's their starting catcher. We had him on a couple months after he got drafted. He looks good behind the plate. Like, again, Jorge Alfaro opted out of his deal with the Woo Sox yesterday, or the Red Sox, because Red Sox don't really have space for him. But he's a guy I could definitely see on the team in 2 to 3 years. The other guy who has been tearing it up, and he's now with the Sea Dogs too, Chris Troy, who was on-field guest of the year of the show 2021. One of the most humble guys we've talked to. Great guy. Let me pull up his stats here. If you don't know the name Chris Troy,
get to know it.
Get to know it, please. This guy in Greenville this year, right? He struggled with injuries a little bit in college, but in terms of raw pitching stuff, like pitching ability, I think he's got some of the best stuff in the organization as a whole. He had a rough first outing in Portland, but in 18 and a third innings with the Greenville Drive. Steve, guess how many strikeouts he had in 18 and a third innings.
It's probably got like, what's his K per nine? Probably like 12, I'd say. at least 12K per nine.
Okay.
And it's got 18. So we'll call it 20, 24.
24. See if it's over 30.
Is it really?
It's not only over 30, it's over 35.
That's crazy.
37 strikeouts and 18 in a third innings for Chris Troy. A 1.96 ERA. His fastball touches 100. He struggled with walks a little bit in the month of April, but he only walked one guy in May. Again, first outing with Portland, he walked three guys, or actually walked four guys, gave up three runs. But again, that's another guy you got to keep an eye on. Another guy, real quick, who impressed me.
His stuff is dirty.
Nasty.
If he gets the control that he needs to succeed at the major league level, that's down on the walks. His stuff will get swings and misses at any level.
100%. 100%. And real quick, another guy. I mean, the Sea Dogs have, well, I know Meyer just got called up too. I went about a couple days before he got called up. There's this other relief pitcher, Ryan Zephyrjohn, with the Sea Dogs, who his fastball was touching, I think, 98, 99 when I was at the game. Looked really, really solid. And again, I think there's some okay bullpen pieces like coming up for the Sox. So hopefully that can work its way out. But I was impressed. I had never been up to Portland before. Have you been up there, Steve?
I have not been up there.
Field was nice. I've only been to like two other minor league ballparks, I think, but it was nice. It was an 11 o'clock game.
Yard Goats?
I have actually not been to a Yard Goats game. I went to old New Britain Rock Cats.
Never heard of them.
They were the old double A team of the Twins, and they were in New Britain, Connecticut. David Ortiz played there, Torrey Hunter. And also, rest in peace to the Bridgeport Bluefish. They were an independent league team in Bridgeport. It's electric baseball.
It's good baseball.
But I will say it was nice up there. I got there before the game. And I was looking on Vivid Seats for tickets. They were like $25 on there. I was like, I can definitely get cheaper tickets at the box office. There's no way they're that much. So I go up and I'm like, I need one ticket. Like, where's a good place to sit? And he's like, I definitely suggest sitting, you know, lower bowl. So if you're sitting like upper deck, it's $11. Lower bowl, 15. I'm like, all right, I'll spend the extra $4. He goes, I got a seat row A right behind the Sea Dogs on deck circle if you want it. I'm all over that. Yeah. All over that. So I was able to get some good pictures, good content. But that is kind of my Red Sox down on the farm scouting report right now. Lots of exciting faces coming soon to Boston. Yeah.
To a Red Sox near you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, real quick too. There's just been so much going on since we last recorded. So I broadcast my first baseball game a couple weeks ago. I was doing a UMass Lowell game against Hofstra. And UMass Lowell plays at the old Lowell Spinners Stadium, who was the low A team of the Red Sox up until COVID happened. And then they kind of were dissolved, I guess. But one of the old Coke bottles from Fenway Park, still standing in the outfield, had no idea it was there.
Dude, it's in the outfield?
It's in the outfield. Well, like, you know, it's right up.
So like a ball could hit it?
It's just right in the middle. Fly ball to center. Camped under it, boing.
Oh wait, what noise would it make?
Boing. That's, ricochets.
Dude, they gotta put the Coke bottles back up at Fenway, because you could take a normal run-of-the-mill home run over the monster, and you could turn it into the craziest thing that has happened in recent memory. Because it's just like, oh, there's a deep fly ball, Rafael Devers. At the left field, and oh my god, it hit the Coke bottle. It hit the Coke bottle. It hit the Coke bottle. Did you hear that noise? Did you hear that noise?
Boink.
OB, you hear that noise? He's like, yeah, I heard that noise.
You think boing. He made the noise? Yeah. Imagine if they were super springy. So it was like it hits the Coke bottles, and it's just you're ducking for cover at Fenway. The ball could go anywhere, 100 mile an hour off the Coke bottle.
Yeah, and then like on every screen at Fenway, it just is like the word like boing.
I'm for it. And then the lights, we like if it's a night game, the lights turn red for like the Coke, you know, logo. I
who
think,
says no?
I don't think anyone.
Big Coke says no. Are they the ones that are roadblocking this? John Henry too cheap?
Probably.
Shell out for that ad?
I think it's got to be Coca-Cola. I will say, those bottles are massive.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely massive. Yeah, probably like 30 feet tall.
It's a lot of Coke.
Anywho.
What could have been?
What could have been? Real quick, Red Sox are down 4-2 now. Corey Kluber is coming out of the pen, which kind of segues. So that's going to do it from Fenway today. Thanks for coming. Best the Sox can do is split the series at 2. No, but segues nicely into what I wanted to touch on next is the pitching rotation and bullpen with Chris Sale. He was hurt again the other day. I just feel bad for him. I just feel bad for him at this point. Again, I
feel bad for us.
You're selfish, Steve. You're selfish. I feel bad for Christopher Allen Sale. Guy was the last couple of starts dealing. He was pushing. He looked really good after his first three or four starts. And then boom, left shoulder inflammation. No diagnosis.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel bad for him because he's making millions and millions of dollars, had a pretty good career so far. It's like Chris Hill's on the aisle again. It's like, shocker. Is what it is. Everybody kind of felt like, God, it's only a matter of time before Sale goes back on the IL. And it sucks. And he was dealing. He was absolutely tossing some triple digits for a minute there. And he was getting strikeouts. He looked like Chris Sale of old for like four or five starts there. And now he's on the IL. So,
yeah. They just announced earlier today that Cutter Crawford would slide into the rotation as the fifth guy, leaves us at Cutter Crawford, Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck, Brian Bayo, and
James Paxton.
James Paxton, who actually, again, he's looked
solid start.
Solid as well. So, again, I don't hate that rotation, but you now got Nick Pivetta and Corey Kluber in the bullpen.
Two bad pitchers.
We'll see what Corey Kluber does today. We could very well give you an update on if he craps his pants here in a little bit. Corey Kluber just throws a junk ball. It's like 85 right down Broadway. Boom. See you later.
The clue ball.
He is, I can respect what he's done in his career. He was a phenomenal pitcher about eight.
Not everybody gets two Cy Youngs.
No, almost nobody does. Rick Porcello got one. 5 to 8 years ago, one of the best pitchers in the game. Corey Kluber is the definition of washed up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's part of that abundance of mid. He's even below mid. He's not even mid. He's like not good enough to be mid.
Was it a 1 or 2 year deal we signed him to? I think it was only.
God, I hope it was only
please
one.
Please tell me it was only one. Because what was. Oh, thank goodness it was only 1 year.
Yeah, he's just trash.
How long was Justin Turner's? Was that 1 year?
I think so. I hope it's maybe longer. Two, actually.
Let's see. 2 years, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
I like Justin Turner. I really do.
I do too. Him and Kenley. Congrats. Oh no, we talked about Kenley Jansen getting.
Yeah, we did.
4K or 400.
Massa today got his 500th professional RBI.
Let's go. Massa's been tearing it up.
All-star.
I saw yesterday there was some reporter for the Boston Globe who was saying how – let me see if I can find this tweet. It was just so bad. Actually, no, I don't even want to give it the light of day. But he was basically just saying how bad defensively Yoshida has been.
He hasn't even looked that bad.
And I was like, what? And everybody in the comments were like, what are you talking about? He's not a gold glove performer. He had one bad play.
Nobody said he was gonna be.
No, yeah, exactly.
That's not why we signed him.
Yoshida is tearing the cover off the ball. I think he's hitting 313. He's got 6 or 7 home runs. He's looked very, very comfortable. And since the first kind of 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks where he was hurt a little bit, he was scuffling. I think he's hitting around 350 in his last 30 games.
400 over his last seven.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. Like, he'll go on these runs for a week where he just tears it up.
He's the macho man.
Exactly. And we got him for four more years after this, which is great. And I can't imagine that the rival GMs who think that the Red Sox overpaid for him are still agreeing with that take.
Yeah. And you know what the best part about Yoshida is?
What's that, Steve?
Hasn't even happened yet. What? He's going to get Shohei Ohtani to sign here. That's the best part.
If you had to put a number right now
on how much Shohei
Ohtani is going to get,
$650 million.
Oh, I think $500 million is the lowest I can imagine him getting.
Yeah, no, yeah, like six. I think he'll get six. What's the highest contract right now? Like 580.
580? No one's made over. I think Mike Trout's was the biggest in terms of total value. I think it was like 425, 430. Yeah, 12,426.5.
Yeah, so maybe like 556 for Shohei.
Do you think in our lifetime we'll see a player sign a $1 billion contract?
Yeah,
I think we do.
I've heard that if inflation continues at the rate that it did for the next like 80 years, as it did for the last 80 years, the average median like salary for an American will be over $1 million.
Sick. So the term like "I want to be a millionaire" anymore is just
doesn't even matter anymore.
Just
yeah.
not a yeah yeah
no because like a bag of like Tostitos will no forgets will be like $12. Like $20 probably is something like ridiculous.
Yeah, food has gotten just ungodly expensive. Everything's expensive.
Buying groceries is brutal. Especially when you have to go in person to buy groceries.
What would you, is there any service that like, thinking if you could save a little money, just have it delivered to your house? Is there a service that could do such a thing for groceries?
You know, bear with me here.
We're
missing the guy who does this typically, but there is a service. It's called Instacart. Instacart is an online grocery delivery app that allows you to stay in the comfort of your home, need a key ingredient for that special dish that you're trying to make right after you record your Red Sox podcast, but you don't have time to go to the grocery store. Instacart, they pick every item with care to fit even the most specific needs.
Nice.
Never set foot in a grocery store again. I don't know what the offer is. Klaassen never does either.
I don't know what it
Click
is.
Click the link in our show notes.
It definitely won't be there.
Instacart.
Never step foot in a grocery store again.
Nope, don't do it. It's Parker Summer Celebration. It's June and it's really cold out.
It's 52 degrees here.
Gross.
On June 4th.
Disgusting.
It was 90. My body can't handle it going from like 90 to 50 every other day.
No.
Just pick if you want to be warm or cold. Come on.
Yeah.
Pick it.
Climate change. It's not real. Just kidding. I don't know.
All right, Steve. So the Red Sox finish up a four-game series with the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow. First of all, I want to ask your opinion on the scheduled doubleheader from yesterday. It was the first Fenway scheduled doubleheader since like 1978.
Don't get it. Don't get the point of it. Don't understand why anybody would want that. I don't know, kid.
I don't know. The next week, the look ahead, obviously, like, again, it's been a minute. Like, the Red Sox have kind of scuffled the last two or three weeks, like, have been a little under 500. They won the series against Seattle, won the series against San Diego. Those are good things. They get swept by the Angels. That's not good. You beat the Diamondbacks 2 out of 3. And Steve, who was the guy who said the Diamondbacks were going to be good this year? You got the best record in the NL.
It was me, right?
No.
No, it was you.
All I'm saying, Zach Gallen. I picked his Cy Young. He's up
probably
there.
Won't get it, but
Corbin Carroll, leading NL Rookie of the Year. right now. And I think Tori Luvolo, I picked manager of the year. I think it's all looking good.
I hope Gallen picks it back up, but he's kind of scuffled a little bit recently.
Anyways,
Spencer Strider is
really
good.
He's looking so good. The Braves are just a wagon. I know they've struggled the last 2 weeks or so a little bit too, yeah. But
I got beef with Max Fried too. Second round pick on that guy. He's been on the IL for literally
oh,
the
God.
Entire
Corey
year.
Kluber just gave up more runs.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when the Sox send out a guy to pitch and you're like, this is guaranteed to go poorly.
This is getting to like Mike Kickham level.
Yeah.
Of bad. Ryan Weber. I saw, oh, who was I? Oh, yeah, the Dodgers game I was watching the other day. It was Ryan Weber who gave up the home run to JD. That's who it was.
That's
who it was.
I just got a notification saying horrible Red Sox defense. Looks like we got a little league baseball at Fenway.
Yeah, I'm going to drive back home down to Connecticut after we finish this, but I was thinking earlier today or yesterday, I was like, you know what? Red Sox playing a day game. Maybe I'll stop in Boston on my way home and watch the game. And then I saw the weather and I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like it. And I'm glad I didn't right now because it's 6-2. It's 50 degrees. It's raining. Corey Kluber's pitching. And I saved money and time. Steve, you got anything else? Actually, look ahead real quick. We got, are you frozen? I think we lost Steve. That's why Steve wasn't saying anything. Steve's gone. All right. We're going to rip this solo until Steve comes back. The look ahead with Solo Guardy. We got Cleveland for 3 games. After tomorrow's game against the Rays, which is a makeup of, I think, Friday's game, which got rained out. So going to Cleveland for 3 games and then 3 games against the Yankees in the Bronx next weekend. First time the Red Sox have played the Yankees this year. And then back home for another 6-game homestand against Colorado. And the Yankees for 3 more. So we're going to see a good amount of the Yankees Red Sox coming up, which is going to be sweet to see. Again, I think that the one kind of negative about this new schedule, I do enjoy not having to play the Rays and the Blue Jays and the Orioles as much as we used to because of how good they are. It is a bummer that we don't get to see the Yankees and Red Sox 18 times, 19 times a year anymore. It's just, I think, 12 or 13. So good amount of Red Sox Yankees coming up, which will be sweet. I'm still waiting for Steve to hop back on here. I don't know what's going on. Let's see what Steve said. He said, got disconnected. Anyways, let's see. What can we run through before Steve gets back here? Could run through some stats here. One guy we didn't really talk about earlier in this episode, Rafael Devers. He's been a little bit of a slower month of May. His average is down to 243, 789 OPS, which I think is third or fourth on the team in terms of qualified guys, but still 13 home runs. The Red Sox aren't exactly a huge power threat right now, but Rafi's keeping it together, and Steve is back. Steve, I will say this, Steve. Ripping a solo gone bridge would be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
I was just trying to talk in circles for the last 2 to 3 minutes, and I talked about the schedule coming up, and then I was like, you know what? We're just going to talk about Rafael Devers for a little bit, and I was like, there's no way anyone is going to find this interesting to listen to. So I'm glad you're back.
I'm back. My Wi-Fi just messed the bed, so I turned on my personal hotspot via my phone. Let's try and keep this a little bit shorter so I can figure this out.
All right. We will run in to the back half of this episode. Steve.
You cannot tell me that that was the first half of this episode. That
no,
was
not first half. Not first half. I mean, like, we talk Sox.
We'll
do it
look
half.
Ahead. Let's look ahead. Right?
I just looked ahead. You weren't here.
Then let's just do the segments.
We got some questions, Steve.
Yeah, let's do the segments.
We got some questions.
From who?
They're from Matt. They're from Matt. Right. First question comes from Matt. He said, what's the worst hotel you have ever stayed at?
I don't know. Probably, I don't know.
Good answer.
I don't know.
I think the worst hotel I've ever stayed at was in Ocean City, Maryland. I think it was 2011. We were driving back from Virginia, and Hurricane Irene was coming up the coast, and it was a small little family-owned hotel. It was not very nice, and all the windows were boarded up because the hurricane was coming through the next 2 days, and the place was kind of terrifying. So, shout out Ocean City. Next question comes in from Matt. He says, what brand of toothpaste do you use?
Colgate.
Same.
Best brand.
Next question comes in from Matt. And last question comes in from Matt. He says, who's a person you're jealous of? I don't know, Matt. I'm pretty happy. I'm not really a jealous person. A little bit jealous of the Angels that they have Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, but I'm not jealous of Angels fans.
No.
Probably jealous of like Braves fans just because it's been a really good couple of years.
Okay. I like it.
I think it's Spencer Schrider, and that guy just clearly is wrapping out like really good. 500 on squat.
You know what's I learned yesterday that Spencer Schrider started a Bernie Sanders club at Clemson when he was there.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Didn't know that either. Thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
No more questions. Steve, you got a Yahtzee of the week, Yahtzee of the month? You got a home run that comes to mind?
No.
Yeah, and I don't
I wasn't
got much,
prepared for that.
I don't got much for you. Yeah, either. Alex Cora, impact player of the week.
It's got to be Masa Yoshida.
Masa.
I give Masataka Yoshida a 8.1. No, 0.81. Excuse me. Be ridiculous. On the Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week scale. And I also want to say about Masa Yoshida is that he is top 10 MVP right now.
100%. 100%. I agree with that pick 100%. I think that's the right pick, but for the sake of picking someone else, I'll pick a pitcher, and I'm going to go with James Paxton. He only made one start last week, but turned in a pretty solid performance, only gave up one run over five innings of work against, who did he pitch against? Oh, right. Cincinnati. Oh, the Red Sox ended up losing that game. Got out of control, but Paxton's looked pretty solid still. Well, he's got the strikeouts going. He had eight in that game. I've been impressed with Big Maple since he's been back. So Paxton, for me, I'll give him like a 0.59.
Nice.
On the ACOTP JHK.
J.
I think that's somewhere in there. No?
Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week?
Yeah. Something like that.
No, J.
Okay. What do we got? Any other segments before close out?
ACPTIOTW?
ACIPOTDW, something like that.
What else we got?
I'm trying to think. I'm kind of out of. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Out of practice.
I think that's about it. I think that's about it.
Closing out the ninth.
Closing out the ninth.
Sox are definitely going to lose this game to the Rays.
Facts.
Let's just try and get a wild card spot. It's kind of
keep the boat afloat, Steve. Yeah. That's what they got to do.
Row the boat, baby.
Row the boat. Row the boat. My closing out the ninth thought. I had this thought like 3 weeks ago that I wanted to like have this as my closing out the ninth thought. Right around like graduation time, but we haven't really done an episode since then, and Clausen's also not here. But I was just gonna say, like around graduation time, I was like closing out the ninth. I'm thankful for UNH, great 4 years, and obviously couldn't have met two better people to start the show with. And now it's been like 2 weeks, so I feel like this doesn't not like not mean as much to say, but you know, I was kind of. I'm sure you can relate as graduating last year. It's like an emotional week. It took a toll on me.
Everything changes. Feels like in an instant, and one day it'll be normal. You'll just wake up one day and you'll be like, "This is the way it is now."
Yeah, it already like not feels better. Not that like I've been struggling with it, but I mean, it's a big change. But yeah, UNH was a great 4 years. But we're obviously gonna keep the show rolling now that we're out of college. Keep it going.
Shout out to UNH. Yeah. If you're a person in high school, junior or sophomore, probably. If you're senior, you might know where you're going already. Take a look at UNH. Take a look. Check it out.
Reach out to us too.
Yeah, if you want.
If you want to. I feel like I had one other thing I was going to say, but I don't really remember. Anyways, Sox are going to lose again. Today, but lots to look forward to. Clawson, the thing is that we like haven't heard anything from Clawson either.
He's okay though.
He texted us
today while we were recording.
Yeah, he ignored us about when we were going to record, and then sent us something that I was like, Clawson, you didn't have to send that.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's in Germany. He'll be there for a couple weeks. So hopefully we can get him on at you know, points. But it might just be the Guardian Steve show here for a couple of weeks. But happy to be back on the mic stick, talking Sox, letting OB do the rest. And with that being said, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gombridge Podcast and Twitter at Gombridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we will be back next week with episode 127. We'll be back next week with episode 128. See ya!